EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
In a box.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Oh, no tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
And welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am the infamous one, the magical mystery tour guide, whatever you want to call me. I have arrived. It is another week, and I know this podcast is coming out late, but you know what? We need a little time off. So we took last week off, and we took this week off. Well, okay, we didn't take this week off. We're just late this week because, you know, we need the rest. Anyways, welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I already said that, but I don't care. We're going to say it again. This week should be a lot of fun. We got new projects to talk about. And you're going to love what we've got coming up. But right now, we need to get to some music here on EMZT Radio. Because, you know, we kind of like to play music on this podcast. So here we go. It's EMZT Radio.
Sleep now.
Better go to sleep now.
Hi,
The show that puts the story back into history.
History is all about discovering the why. And I think that in that process, it's important to never take the story out of history.
Making history come alive, one episode at a time.
But this is a podcast on the American Revolution for this series, and all about a free country, so do whatever the hell you want.
Visit themondayamerican.com to get more. Dive into the Monday American. Don't worry, we'll be gentle.
Can I? us from evil. And we're
down. That's just from the trailer of season 2 of Dawn by Alex Fernandez. Of course, we always love promoting Alex Fernandez's stuff. Dawn and Body Jumpers always, always big hits with us. And of course, you know, we are huge fans of Dawn. So you might want to go check that out. We'll have the description in the link as it is on YouTube. But check this out. Season 2 of Dawn is coming soon. You definitely don't want to miss it.
SFGradio.com, where I'm bringing you the best of the worst in cheap booze, talking bum wine, beers, 40s, malt liquor, and more. always featuring the latest and greatest in the world of drinking and entertainment, along with some special guests. So come on down and take a ride with Bumwine Bob. If you can't be there live, you can always listen in the archives at bumwinebob.com. So sit back, relax, grab a drink, and enjoy. Cheers.
Baby named Frankenstein born at Florida Hospital on Halloween. This was an article from clickorlando.com. So how many people thought that the Frankenstein name was not really associated with a family? You guys are all wrong. There is an actual family with the last name of Frankenstein, and they had a baby boy on Halloween afternoon at 2:57 p.m. They named the baby Oscar Gray Frankenstein. Kyle and Jessica Frankenstein were planning to welcome their baby boy into the world Saturday, October 28th, but grandmother Jennifer Frankenstein said her family had a suspicion that little Oscar's birth would coincide with the holiday. He was due 4 days ago, and he decided to wait until Halloween, Jennifer Frankenstein said. Oscar's arrival came after about 14 hours of labor and false alarm on Monday. Jennifer Frankenstein said Oscar is her first grandchild and the first with her namesake born on Halloween, although she does have a 13-year-old daughter who shares the same birthday as Frankenstein author Mary Shelley. How neat is that? To find out that the name Frankenstein is real. And they had a baby on Halloween. How perfect. I guess art imitates from life. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
She's alive! Alive!
It's such a joy now that I've lost my job. I'm so carefree. Now that it's happened to me, I'm really looking forward to living my life of luxury. Everybody's looking for a new way of hope, next step up the ladder. Always bent over or taking it on the chin. You've gotta realize that it just don't matter.
Article from pophorror.com, Cameron Romero unveils Rise of the Living Dead. The horror world mourned when George A. Romero, the godfather of the zombie genre, passed away earlier this year. Romero was the mastermind behind Night of the Living Dead and its sequels. His work inspired a generation of horror filmmakers, including his son. Yes, Cameron Romero is proudly following in his father's footsteps. The younger Romero is penning a love letter to his dad in the form of Origins, a.k.a. Rise of the Living Dead. Cameron's journey to honor his father started back in 2014 with the launch of an Indiegogo campaign for Origins. It was billed as the next generation Romero zombie film. Origins synopsis. Origins takes place in the turmoil of the 1960s, just shortly before Night of the Living Dead, and explains how the original Romero zombie was created. In 1962, Dr. Ryan Cartwright was on the scientific and altruistic path to find a way for humans to sustain life in the event of an MAD, Mutual Assured Destruction. a huge topic brought on by the Cuban Missile Crisis. Little did he know that over the course of the next several years of his life, he would take a well-funded and military-focused journey to the darkest corners of the world as he creates the ultimate weapon for the government and a curse that will plague mankind for the rest of their days. The crowdfunding campaign was a success, raising over $30,000 to complete the film. Romero has since enlisted Robert Kurtzman from The Walking Dead to do makeup effects. He is also engaging Shane Hurlbut, Terminator Salvation, to shoot the project. More on Rise of the Living Dead from Cameron Romero's Facebook page. Quote, many of you know that I have been working to tell a story for many years. My dad read the script and called it genius. I'm not saying that from pride. It's an actual quote, and I have the email to prove it. Many have approached me about making this film, and I've said no to many because even though I'm not a precious artist, this one is special. This one is mine. This one is my love letter to my dad, to his work, to the fact that he was once called the most dangerous filmmaker alive, to the fact that society in 1968 wanted to shut him up as much as they wanted to celebrate him. This one is the prelude to Night, the film that created the pop culture phenomenon that has inspired thousands of filmmakers from backyard auteurs to $180 million features to the single longest running and most successful show in the history of television. Those of you who have known about it for a long time and even helped support an Indiegogo campaign a few years back to help me develop it to this point know this project by its code name, Origins. It is with absolute great joy that I would like to present to you all very late this Halloween night the announcement for this project's official title. Rise of the Living Dead. End quote. Very cool. I'm looking forward to seeing what Cameron Romero comes up with. It sounds like his late father was very much on board with the project. That's a good sign. Having guys like Kurtzman and Hurlbut on board is also very encouraging. I wonder if it'll be in black and white. Yeah, me too. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Hello, horror fans. My name's Douglas McCambridge, and along with my co-host Jamie Lorello, we run a podcast called Good Times, Great Movies, where we review movies from the craziest decade, the 1980s. In October, we do horror movies and horror movies alone, so we're reaching out to you, the listener slash horror fan, to recommend movies you want to hear us talk about. Tweet to us at GTGMcast. Find us on Facebook, listen to the podcast, Good Times, Great Movies. Let us know what horror movies from that decade you want us to talk about. If we choose yours, you win a prize. It'll be something awesome. Blu-rays. That's what I'm going to say. All right. Hope to hear from you.
You ever want your childhood to come back to life? Oh, baby. Oh, man. Finally. I am so happy about this and so excited about this because beginning on Friday, December the 8th, Joe Dante's holiday horror comedy classic, Gremlins, is back in theaters with a nationwide special event called Gremlins Rule Breakers. Now, if you don't remember this, children of the 80s, let me sit back, say this right now. Children of the 80s, just be quiet for a minute. Let me explain this to the millennials. The tale of a cute and furry Christmas gift that multiplies into many, many terrifying Christmas gifts. Gremlin is a sublimely perfect mix of horror and comedy. And of course, you know, the two rules. Don't feed the gremlins after midnight. Just don't. Okay? Check it out. It's on the big screen again! Gremlins! Oh, I'm happy as hell.
Are we quite ready? Dr. Christopher Simons and Jim Bob play the necrophiliac blues. Here, what is that?
EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT. from an article from 1428elm.com. Top 5 characters who had it coming on Friday the 13th film series. I'm usually rooting for the good guys when I watch slasher movies. No, I personally don't root for the good guys. No, not anymore. But there was no love lost when these 5 Friday the 13th victims died. When it comes to watching horror movies, I'm perhaps a little old-fashioned. I'm the type who likes to cheer for the survivors as opposed to the killers. Ultimately, I want to see Jason Voorhees go down in the end. I used to be that way, personally, but now I'm kind of rooting for the people who deserve it. And yes, I would like to see the killer, the monster, or whatever, be defeated at the end of the movie. With that said, sometimes Jason does the world a solid when he takes out someone who has it coming to them, and these 5 people are prime examples. Number 5, Charles McCullough, Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Charles McCullough is a high school biology teacher serving as a chaperone for the school's senior trip to New York. For lack of a better word, this guy is an asshole. There's not a single character in the film he's pleasant with in any way. I know I couldn't wait for this guy to get it, and that was before learning how he traumatized his niece forever. Rennie, the final girl of the film, is McCullough's niece, whom he didn't want coming along on the trip. She has an extreme fear of water, which obviously affects her throughout the entire movie. Yeah, she's completely freaked the whole damn time. Eventually, she recalls a repressed memory from her childhood with Uncle Charles, forcing her into the deep water, trying to make her learn how to swim the hard way. Well, on the Crystal Lake is where he forced her to swim. At that point, even Rennie couldn't care less if Charles bites it, and she leaves him to fend for himself against Jason. This guy somehow made it safely off the cruise ship and into Manhattan, but eventually he got what was coming to him. After first tossing him from a second-story window, Jason dunks Charles face first into a drum of extremely grimy water, complete with a dead rat floating on top. The disgusting green gunk may have in fact been actual toxic waste. But Charles doesn't come back as the toxic avenger. He drowns and dies, which seems like a rather fitting end for him. Number 4, Trent, Friday the 13th, 2009. Easily, the snobby rich kid Trent is the most unlikable person in the Friday the 13th remake. Taking his girlfriend Jenna and some pals to his family cabin in Crystal Lake, Trent only cares about himself and getting laid. And that is made very clear early in the film, soon after meeting him. While stopping for gas, Trent and his friends meet Clay Miller, Jared Padalecki, a man searching for his sister who's gone missing in the area. Yes, because of Jason. And this is part of the film that irks the shit out of me. Jason never, ever keeps people alive. And she certainly wouldn't have stayed alive for a month. That was just ridiculous and very hopeful thinking. To recap that again quickly, a man's sister has disappeared and all the guy is doing is politely trying to find her. But in comes Trent to be a complete asshole to him, literally telling him he doesn't care about him or his possibly dead sister. Jesus. When they make it to the cabin, Trent pressures Jenna for sex, but she declines. So he ends up hooking up with Jenna's friend instead, all while Jason is butchering their friends outside. When Jenna finds him, he actually has the nerve to berate her for cheating on him, just when you thought he couldn't possibly be any more of a douchebag. Trent is soon to be left on his own and nearly escapes by flagging down a passing motorist in a truck. Before he can hop in and escape, however, Jason disembowels him. Trent's body is then thrown in the back of the truck, impaling on a rail spike. And I can't say I felt bad at all when I saw the truck driving away, carrying Trent's corpse along with it. I actually rooted and said, "Yeah!" when that happened. Number 3, Professor Lowe, Jason X. Centuries into the future, a group of students on a spaceship comes across the frozen body of Jason Voorhees and decides to thaw it out. The man in charge, Professor Lowe, sees a big money-making opportunity with the corpse of the infamous murderer, and it will be proven soon enough that his potential for money is more important than anything else. Well, perhaps except for inappropriate sexual relations. the professor engages in a tryst with one of his students, agreeing to give her good marks on an exam for it. You know, the typical porno storyline with a Jason in space twist. But I guess it goes to show that the guy is as sleazy as he is greedy. When it's clear that Jason is thawed out and back up to his old tricks, the lives of the others isn't what crosses Lowe's mind first. He pressures Sergeant Brodsky to take Jason alive, not wanting him to miss out on turning him into a traveling space freak show. In other words, it's clear the entire time that this guy cares about nobody but himself. Jason catches up with Lowe, eventually proving the professor to be a complete moron on top of everything else. While pleading for his life, Lowe notices Jason picks up his old machete in favor of the futuristic space knives they have on board. Assuming finding the deadly weapon would be enough to appease him, Lowe turns his back to Jason, happily yelling to all that all he wanted was his machete back. Those would be the last words Lowe would ever say as Jason decapitates him moments later. Dumbass! He broke the rule! Never turn your back on a killer! Dummy! Number 2, Trey, Freddy vs. Jason. Though Trey doesn't last very long in 2003's Freddy vs. Jason, he's on screen long enough to make a strong, negative impression with viewers. Simply put, the guy is a complete dick to his girlfriend, Gib. He treats her like garbage, constantly berating her for her smoking habit, yet is still happy to pressure her for sex, as long as he can keep the insults right on coming directly after. He's a real piece of work, this guy. Karma would catch up with Trey one night when he crashed a party at 1428 Elm Street. It just so happened to be the night Freddy Krueger resurrected Jason Voorhees, and guess who would be Jason's first victim in Springwood? That's right, good old Trey, in one of the most brutal deaths of the Friday the 13th series. Made all the more satisfying knowing how much this guy really deserved it. After sending Gib off to the shower after sex, Trey remained in bed, laying stomach down, clutching a can of beer. He doesn't notice Jason coming in behind him, but he does notice the machete stabbing through him over and over again. To finish the job, Jason then folds the bed, snapping Trey's spine by folding him completely in half. I still have a clear memory of the entire audience roaring in applause when I saw this moment happen in the theater. I actually stood up and woo, 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 woo! Yeah, that's what I did. And number 1, Robert Campbell, Jason Goes to Hell, the final Friday the 13th. Which we know wasn't the final Friday the 13th. The ninth Friday the 13th movie features perhaps the sleaziest TV news reporter of all time, Robert Campbell. Now this is where the writer screws up on his facts. He wasn't the ex-boyfriend of Jason's sister. He's the boyfriend of Jason's sister's daughter. Robert is a complete and utter douchebag, but his personality isn't even the worst part about the guy. In effort to boost his ratings, Campbell literally steals the body of his girlfriend's dead mother after she is killed. He hides it in the Voorhees house with intentions of feigning discovering the body live on camera. Campbell proves himself to be a special kind of person by then bragging about this on his cell phone to an unknown person so proud of his awful deeds. His exact lines of bragging are, "Well, last night I stole Diana's body and I'd hid it here in the closet. And then I went home and fucked her daughter." Soon after, Jason, in the form of a possessed policeman, attacks Campbell in the house. He transfers his evil spirit into Campbell's body, overtaking it as the new host and killing Campbell in the process. After Jason switches bodies once again later, Campbell's body melts into nothing. But I certainly didn't feel an ounce of sympathy. There are certainly lots of sleazeballs in this franchise, but no bigger asshole than Robert Campbell. And I agree. This guy was a real douchebag. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
You're going to Camp Blood, ain't you? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.
Hold me down.
Gamer fans, interesting notes coming out of Capcom is there possibly going to be a Devil May Cry 5? Well, according to a leak on Reset Era, Capcom is currently at work on Devil May Cry 5. In fact, the game's been in development for a couple of years. Capcom is ready to announce the game at the upcoming PlayStation Experience next month, but after negative feedback Sony received from their E3 2017 showcase, they have reportedly decided to debut it at E3 2018. So why announce it at a Sony event? Because it's going to be a PS4 exclusive. You're making a mistake. I'm telling you that much right now. The game will pick up after Devil May Cry 4 with Hideki Itsuno directing, Ruben Langdon reprising his role as Dante. There will potentially be three playable characters, including Dante, with Devil May Cry's 4 Necro being one of them. So this is going to be interesting. It is definitely something that is worth checking out. But again, Devil May Cry 5? Well, I mean, if it actually comes to the Xbox, I'll be happy. I know that much.
You love midnight movies, don't you? But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV.
There!
the first viral television on the web, Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live, 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for EMZT Radio this week. Bane, congratulations. Thank you for feeling better. Hope things are looking up for you. I want to thank everybody within the Pattern family. You guys are awesome. Seriously, check it out. Go to Twitter. Put in the hashtag Pattern Family. Follow it. Follow them all. Listen to all their podcasts. They are freaking awesome. Again, the t-shirts are coming. We are putting the final touches on the new designs. Going to have at least two new t-shirts. We're going to try to have pillows and all the mugs and stuff up for Christmas too. Don't worry about that. Patreon subscribers, you will get a 10% discount on all EMZT merchandise from our Teespring store. Don't forget to check us out on Discord as well. The link will be in the description on Twitch when we finally decide we can stream when we have the time. Check us out Twitter, Facebook, you know, the usual garbage where you can find us. Come on, you know where to do. Definitely check everything out. Hope you guys enjoy. Don't forget to click on the Amazon link there and get yourself a month free of Audible. All right, we're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Red Rum. Red Rum.